Play the game. Follow the action. The huddle cycle. The management team gathered, as had become their recent custom, in the cafeteria. They were surrounded by the scoreboards they'd created the week before. They watched the great game huddle video, which reminded them of what they saw in person at Tom's IT company. The entire management team felt the same way about what they had seen. The huddle was no ordinary staff meeting. Randy started by saying, "I liked how they define the huddle in the video." Reading from his notes, he went on, "If the critical number is the heart of the game, the huddle is the heartbeat. It's a rhythm, a communication rhythm, where everyone is kept informed and involved in the progress of the game." After watching the video, the aha moment for me was the huddle cycle. At Tom's place, I just assumed that was the only huddle. It's actually a series of huddles that makes the whole system work. The numbers are created and shared at a series of meetings, from daily departmental check-ins or pre-huddles to weekly company-wide gatherings. It was pretty impressive to watch how the information came from every corner of the business into an accurate, up-to-the-minute, big-picture view of the company's overall financial performance. "And this happens every week?" asked Kevin. "Boy, we have some work to do." Sam added, "I know it looks like a lot to take on. Don't worry, though." He passed around an illustration of the huddle cycle, and then he continued, "It's the discipline of the game. It will become our weekly ritual for calculating and communicating the score. It'll take time to make it stick, but we'll get there. Been there, done that." He smiled confidently, hoping to set the team at ease. Randy said, "Okay, team, you heard my take. You've been to a live huddle, you've seen the video, and you've been holding your own minigame huddles. You're getting the feel for what a huddle needs to be. When you were all at Tom's huddle, what made it different? What did you see?" Gerald began, saying, "It didn't last long. Everything was fast-paced and to the point. I couldn't believe the amount of information that was processed in, what, 45 minutes? Kevin added, "Yeah, part of that was everyone was on time and prepared for it," looking directly at Gerald. "I also liked that the meeting was structured and focused," continued Kevin. "Everybody knew the agenda and what their role was in it." Meredith commented, "Communication revolved around their critical numbers and the stories behind their numbers." "I remember the majority of the discussions were forward-looking," said Dan. "They were sharing emerging issues and concerns rather than dwelling on the past." Sam liked their responses. "Very good. What else? Where did the numbers come from? The CFO? Deborah cried out, "No! It was the people doing the work who were calling out their forecast. That was pretty cool." Randy agreed. "And there was a very clear accountability for the numbers. They owned them. You could really see the follow-through as well, couldn't you?" Sam quickly jumped in. "It's the repetition, Randy. The frequent engagement with your peers that drives the accountability and follow-through. It took me a while to make that connection. Knowing others are counting on us tends to raise our level of commitment." Meredith added, "I thought a lot of the accountability was the result of commitments they made to each other. I remember calling them promises in writing. First, they gave a brief update on the commitment they made the previous week, then followed up with a new commit, as they called it, for the coming week. They gave the meeting a real feeling of getting things done." Gerald added, "And people seemed to have no problem challenging each other." Bill, Dan's assistant manager, had been pretty quiet, but had gotten a lot out of the visit to Tom's company. Everyone in that huddle had a clear understanding of problems and opportunities and how they could impact the outcome. He went on, "And if they were struggling, they weren't afraid to share it. They weren't afraid to ask the team for help. I really liked that." Meredith added, "Yeah, Bill, they openly discussed both their wins and losses. And because they were all working from a common scoreboard and common bottom line goal, they couldn't help but team up and focus on the issues rather than who's to blame. The overall objective, improving the bottom line, was right there for all to see." Deborah pointed out, "They seemed to take time to make sure everyone understood things. Questions were encouraged and even rewarded. Tom even gave dollar bills out in the huddle to people who answered questions. That was different." Kevin said, "People were leaving more informed and educated about the business, that's for sure." Deborah came back, "And at the same time, They were sure not to close the meeting without recognizing contributions and successes. People left the huddle pretty fired up and energized, knowing exactly what needed to be done next. "Fantastic, guys," Randy said very proudly. "You're really getting this. All right, let's do this," Tom said. "The best way to get started is to jump right in. Next Tuesday at 9 a.m., we're going to have our first huddle. Remember, this is the management huddle, just one step in the cycle. We'll do it for a few weeks, maybe more, to get really comfortable with our scoreboard and the process. Then we'll roll it out to the whole organization. Sound good?" Everyone nodded in agreement. "Here's the agenda," said Sam. "Randy, you need to chair this huddle. You'll set the tone. You'll give brief comments about the big picture, where the company is now, where it's headed. That will give everyone context on the state of the game. Then, it's time to check the score. We'll forecast our numbers, create a financial outlook for the company. We'll keep it tight, stick to the scoreboard, share the stories behind the numbers, and focus on the variances. Then, we'll make our commitments." Meredith perked up. "These are our promises in writing we saw at Tom's place, right?" Sam replied, "Exactly, Meredith. It's not 4 things or 10 things. A commit is the one thing that you can do this week to improve the score. It's so simple, but powerful." Randy stated, "We'll track and report progress, commit to results, and continually think about what we can do to improve those results. All along, we keep learning and getting better." Sam went on, "We'll wrap up each meeting by going around the room so each of us can give an update on what's happening in our area of the business. Highlight the wins, recognize folks, and touch on important non-financial things. Guys, this is one of the most important steps we'll take to make sure the game works for us," Randy said earnestly. "We have to take it seriously. We have to stay disciplined to it, and you have to come prepared to really make it work." Sam agreed and gave the team some perspective. "The first month of these huddles is going to be awkward, a little long, maybe unorganized, and in all reality, just plain ugly. But we'll keep going, and we'll figure it out along the way. Once we get comfortable, then we'll roll it out. But I want to make sure all of us in leadership are confident in becoming the teachers and coaches for all the other employees on the numbers and the process." Randy ended the meeting with, "It begins and ends with our leadership." Over the weekend, Sam decided to send the team an email. He had been noticing anxiety among management about coming to their first huddle on Tuesday. He knew a lot of that angst was driven by the fact that each of them would be required to make their first forecast and their first commitment to the rest of the team. His email read, "From Sam. To Kevin, Dan, Bill, Gerald, Meredith, Deborah. CC Randy. Subject, forecasting." The email contained 4 attachments, all labeled Forecasting Tool 1, 2, 3, 4. "Team, as we approach our first huddle and first forecast, I'm sensing some anxiety from some of the communications I've received. Based on that, I thought I'd take a few minutes to give you some forecasting tips that might be of help. Based on my experience regarding forecasting, you can approach it in at least 4 ways. 1. Use complex Excel spreadsheets drawing upon models such as linear regression, multiple regression analysis, or some modeling theory like the Monte Carlo method. 2. You can use one of the 4 tried and true forecasting tools that are included in the attached files. 3. You can hire someone with an MBA, which will probably produce results similar to the tools outlined in number 2. Or number 4, you can draw upon your knowledge of the business, a little historical information, your experience and intuition, and apply all that to the numbers. My advice, relax a bit and use number 4. Sam." Ironically, the attachments were not tools, but photographs. Attachment 1 was a magic 8-ball. Number 2 was a coin flip. Number 3, a crystal ball. And number 4 was a roll of the dice. Everyone on the team got the joke and the point. Sam just wanted them to use their knowledge, experience, and gut to give their best opinion of how the month was going to end. The email worked. By the time Tuesday rolled around, everyone was actually looking forward to their first huddle. And each of them had been putting together their first forecast, knowing that they would not be thrown to the wolves if it wasn't spot on. As the team walked into the cafeteria, they noticed that Randy had posted a new sign next to the big financial scoreboard. The quote printed on the sign gave everyone perspective on what they were about to do, and it set them at ease. Randy took a breath and started the meeting. Hello, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to our first official huddle. A great way to begin is to go back to the book, The Great Game of Business. That's why I posted this sign behind me. He pointed to the new sign. On it was a quote from Jack Stack's book. It read, "When we come out of our huddle, we see the whole field before us. We know who is there and how the game is unfolding and what each of us has to do to make sure we keep moving closer to the goal line." Our objective today is to make that happen. We have our financial scoreboard on the wall, bigger than life, which he pointed out. And you each have a printout of the scoreboard as well. We're going to build a forward-looking financial picture of our business this morning. Sam, why don't you kick things off? Sam began to lead the team down each line on the scoreboard. Sales, what is your forecast for restoration? As each line item was called, its owner called out the month-end forecast, which was then written on the big board. As the number was written down, each manager provided a brief story behind the number, something that reflected the risk or opportunities in the number. At the same time, each manager wrote the numbers on the scoreboard in front of them. Sam continued, "Cogs, what's labor looking like for dry cleaning?" Gerald looked over the top of his glasses at the board, then at Sam. "I'm going with plan." Sam looked puzzled. "Gerald, do you think that forecast will hold up by the end of the month? It looks like sales are up quite a bit." He said this as he pointed to the top line of dry cleaning sales. "I thought you were going to be working weekends to get everything out." Meredith nearly came out of her seat. "Labor's going up $2,100 because of the overtime, Sam." "There you go," responded Sam enthusiastically. "Now that's a forecast. You take the realities of your situation, use your experience to make the best estimate of what will happen by the end of the month, and put it on the board. Great job, Meredith." Gerald was not amused. "As we get better at this, you guys will be watching and building your own departmental, team, and individual scoreboards. Your own operational numbers will help you get a better sense of what your forecast should be. This will allow you to get more of your people involved because operational numbers come from where?" "Our people," was the chorus from around the room. "Exactly," Sam said, smiling. "So, when you come in and provide your forecast, it will have the full buy-in and support of your people. If people don't participate, they don't buy in. If they don't buy in, they don't commit. And if they don't commit, they don't deliver." Randy added, "That's right. That's what you'll do in your pre-huddles with your teams. It's about creating line of sight. They'll all know where they fit in all these numbers, and they'll understand their actions and decisions really do make a difference." The huddle continued down through the bottom line, and it was time for everyone to commit to something each of them could do personally to improve the score. Meredith knew exactly what to do. "My commit, my one thing, is that I'm really going to focus this weekend to get as much done as possible. My commit is to cut overtime in half." Following the agenda Randy had laid out, the team continued around the room. Near the end, each manager gave a brief update on his or her division. During his turn, Kevin recognized his Scrolling for Dollars team for what a good job they were doing with their new minigame. He asked that kudos be given next time anyone saw them in the hallways. They had done it. The management team had successfully built a picture, lumpy as it was, of how the business was going to perform by the end of the month. Like Randy had promised, and the sign said, they could see the whole playing field. They knew who was there, how the game was unfolding, and what each of them had to do to keep moving closer to the goal. It would take several weeks before they began to feel more comfortable, not only with the numbers, the forecasts, but also with the idea of becoming the coaches and teachers that would bring this understanding and discipline to the troops. Drive results from minigames. The divisions had been playing minigames for 90 days and had driven both awareness and results. It was clear that the regular folks, the hourly employees, understood more about the business than anyone had thought possible. They were tracking, measuring, and forecasting metrics about their jobs, and it was making a difference. Scotch on the Rocks had more than doubled upsells, and the team at On Location Services had enjoyed monthly celebrations as they exceeded each goal. Energy had never been higher among employees, and people were even starting to ask if they could begin working on their next minigame. The Emergency Restoration Division had a great success with their minigame, Scrolling for Dollars. Their goal was to increase cross-selling of other non-emergency services by mining their database in their downtime in an effort to drive non-Code Blue gross margin. They'd planned to do it for 90 days. They had created targets each month. Level 1 was 250 calls or touches. Level 2, 275 calls or touches. And level 3 was 300 calls or touches. Kevin, the head of restoration, and Randy both thought their goals were too low, but Sam suggested that they let the team give it a shot so they could own this game. He suggested that if management set the goals, it would be their game and not the team's. They agreed to let it play out, though it was clear that Randy and Kevin were a little skeptical. Deborah, the CFO, was concerned that there were no measurables linked to the game beyond the number of calls. She suggested that they should have an actual dollar figure attached to the minigame. Still, Sam persisted. He guaranteed that if they made the calls and the touches and put themselves out there, there would be an ROI. There'd be measurables, and the minigame would be self-funding. They called it Scrolling for Dollars because they would scroll through names in their database to make cross-selling calls. They could quickly tell their previous Code Blue customers about dry cleaning and on-location services. It was a great use of their time as they discovered there were so many services they could offer. They offered numerous on-location cleaning services such as air duct cleaning, mold remediation, tile and grout cleaning, upholstery cleaning. All were services their customers could use, and all were services that contributed to improving the critical number. It was a play on the old TV show Bowling for Dollars, so the restoration team themed it accordingly. The rewards matched the three levels they'd created. If they reached level one goal, the team would receive a mouse pad themed with their bowling motif. Level two would get them a cool retro bowling shirt with the minigame and company logos on the back. If they achieved level three, the entire team would have a bowling party at the end of 90 days, including pizza and the works. Sam pointed out that because they chose their own rewards, the cost was negligible compared to the potential financial impact of the minigame. Their scoreboard was a computer mouse moving down a bowling lane toward the pins as they completed the calls and touches. The minigame was only halfway through and was a huge success. Not only did they reach their goals of making the calls, but the impact was remarkable. The first month, they had made 102 calls, of which 25 people they spoke to had interest and wanted more information. Three made appointments. One customer even called back and asked for an on-location services quote for an entire office building. The real topper was that, in the third month, when one of the face-to-face meetings they had with a local hospital resulted in a callback asking for a proposal. After hearing the fabulous news, the team from on-location services came by during one of Emergency Restoration's minigame huddles and gave them a standing ovation. This clearly moved the restoration people. Better yet, the team had their confidence and self-esteem raised enormously. They felt that everyone in the company was behind them. Kevin and Deborah and Randy looked at Sam during the celebration. Randy simply said, "Priceless. I can't wait to see what happens by the end of this minigame." With the energy and momentum so high, the associates wanted to learn more. It was the perfect time to roll out the company-wide game. People could see the results of their daily decisions. They were experiencing cause and effect firsthand, how they were directly impacting the business, and how the numbers all added up into the big picture. The employees were taking responsibility for the financial performance of the business. They were starting to think and act like owners. And the big game hadn't even started. Or had it? Randy and Sam had talked for a long time about how the rollout might be handled. They finally decided to do something that Tom had described when he launched the game at his IT company. Launch the big game. Everyone had gathered in a neighborhood gymnasium that Randy had rented out for the afternoon. As they shuffled in, there was a sense of excitement, an energy as people anticipated the event. They were told it was going to be fun, that they'd learn something, but they'd also be introduced to the bonus plan, which certainly got their attention. Everyone had been waiting to learn about it, and now that the minigames were paying off, they knew this GGOB thing just might work. As the employees walked in, they were each handed a t-shirt. The shirts were color-coded for each division: red for on-location services, green for dry cleaning, and code blue for emergency restoration. The office and admin folks were wearing white. Randy had invited some other advisors and friends to attend as well. Off in the corner were seated the banker in his three-piece suit, Randy's insurance agent in a polo shirt, and another man in a black suit. Over the PA system, an announcement came to take a seat as the meeting was about to start. When things settled down, people began looking around to figure out where Randy was. Sam stepped onto the wooden floor, stopping at center court. He welcomed everyone and got them to give themselves a round of applause for the great job they had done on the minigames. Still, Randy was nowhere to be seen. Since we began the game almost 3 months ago, I know you're all dying to know more about the big game and how it will work. And of course, the WIFM, the What's In It For Me, our annual bonus plan. Well, we've been working hard at it, at the same time that you all have been working hard at improving business at your divisional levels with minigames. What we've come up with is pretty exciting. To better understand the big picture, we wanted to have everybody be a part of building our first financial scoreboard. This will be our company-wide scoreboard that we'll huddle around every week. You already can feel a difference in the way things are working, can't you? The crowd gave out a holler. They were very excited. You bet there's a difference. Now imagine taking that to the next level and aligning the entire company around our critical numbers. Just think of what's possible. Sam knew it was time for the reveal. Ladies and gentlemen, he announced like a ringmaster, please welcome the sales team and our president and CEO, Randy. A fanfare blasted over the PA, and people cheered as Randy burst through the side doors, followed by the sales team, who were pushing a wheelbarrow that appeared to be stacked full of cash. They did a victory lap around Sam and landed the wheelbarrow at center court. Hey, everybody, are you ready to play the great game of business? Randy yelled. Another cheer went up as people responded to the theatrics. What you see here is a wheelbarrow filled with $7.7 million, the exact amount of services we sold last year. Randy pointed to the cash, which was actually play money the management team had put together into bundles representing $10,000 each. Each of you is going to help us move these dollars around so we can all understand how money flows through our company. When we're done, we'll see what's left and talk about the bonus program for the coming year. How's that sound? More applause came, but it died down quickly. People wanted to get moving. Two of the white shirts from the office team came out onto the court, carrying a big roll of what looked like butcher paper. As it was unfurled, the crowd could see a gigantic version of what looked like an income statement, now revealed on the floor of the gym. They had written in big letters, sales/revenue, COGS, gross margin, expenses, and PBT, or profit before tax. Under sales and COGS, there were lines for each division, emergency restoration, dry cleaning, and on-location services. Exactly the same line items the management team had agreed earlier to include on the company-wide scoreboard. The huge banner spanned no less than 20 feet in length. Randy continued, okay, so here's how the company brings in money. Blue shirts, get down here. Kevin, you call out your revenue number for emergency restoration. The office team will write your number on the big board, and your team will take money from the wheelbarrow representing the revenue they brought in last year, which they did with pride. They were, after all, the biggest revenue producers last year. As the blue shirts parted, the crowd could see the scoreboard was now updated and the number representing revenue for their division. The other divisions followed suit, each placing their pile of money on the scoreboard in the spot representing their sales line. The wheelbarrow was now empty. Randy was grinning ear to ear as he said, now, let's run through the cost of goods sold. COGS, material department, purchasing, come on down. Which they did. Each department called out their number, which was then neatly written on the big scoreboard. These numbers represent the materials we needed to deliver on the sales we just went through above, Randy explained. Then the materials and purchasing people went to the scoreboard and moved money from the sales line to the COGS line as their numbers were called out and recorded on the scoreboard. Now I need people from each division to come down and account for labor. Blue, red, and green shirts stepped out onto the floor as Randy directed each to move labor dollars from sales to COGS. Again, each number was recorded on the scoreboard while the money was moved. Everyone in the bleachers could see the sales piles dwindling. It was a great visual to see all the employees working together to count, move, and flow the money through the business. What was left was moved by the admin team from sales down to gross margin. It took time to go through the exercise of explaining in detail how the income statement was being built, but no one in that gymnasium would ever forget the powerful visual. So are we all following how the money is flowing through the business so far? Randy asked, to which every head in the gymnasium nodded. It was impossible not to see what was happening on the floor. Now it was time to run through the expenses. Randy had the team turn to general administration expenses such as salaries, sales, marketing expenses, and rent. Each person responsible for a line item and their team came up and moved money from gross margin to the expense lines until only a small pile was left. Sam pointed out the remainder and said, "So what do we do with this?" "Bonus," cried some. Others yelled, "Bottom line." Everyone was yelling and smiling. Randy couldn't help but feel they were getting it. Sam stepped over, picked up the remaining stacks, and began to walk down to profit before tax. As he laid the money down, people noticed the man in the black suit had donned sunglasses and was walking from the corner to the scoreboard. As he turned his back to the crowd, they could see the letters IRS taped to his back. The crowd took to their feet, and the stands let out a rousing boo as the IRS man took what seemed to be half of the PBT and placed it on the tax line. As things settled down, Sam took the last remaining dollars and waved them overhead at the crowd. "So now we see how hard it is to make money. We just watched all last year's numbers come to life and how little was left over. How could we do better this year? Sell more! Cut expenses!" All the same responses he had heard 3 months ago were coming back. But this time, people were almost a little mad. They wanted to get in the middle of this game. "What do you say we run through this again? Only this time, we'll do it with numbers we've been working on for the coming year." And they did. The white shirts flipped the paper to reveal the new plan, and people swarmed onto the floor to watch the flow of money through the business. This time, there was much more left on the bottom. During this run-through, there was one big difference. Instead of one line for gross margin, there were now three. Code blue gross margin, non-code blue gross margin, and total gross margin. Every soul in the room now knew the critical numbers of the business that we're going to be focused on every single week of the coming year. The meeting continued with the pace and energy of a pep rally. The bonus plan was revealed, and the promise was made that each member of the management team could answer questions about it anytime. The connection between the bonus and the critical numbers of the bottom line profit and non-code blue gross margin were discussed. The team had gone so far as to theme the year-long bonus campaign Code Green. The idea was easy to grasp and very well received. The annual bonus scoreboard was stunning. It was a secret agent Mission Possible style board in which the Code Green mission was to cover overhead with non-code blue gross margin. For every $1,000 of non-code blue gross margin the team could generate, a large dollar bill was plastered onto the scoreboard, covering part of the evil overhead graphic. You could tell in a glance at the scoreboard if you were winning or losing. Randy felt this was a great first step toward the insurance policy he'd always wanted, moving the culture of the business toward building a diversified, sustainable, and growing company. As the launch came to a close, Randy said, "We're going to be meeting every single week at the same time to have our big huddle like this. We'll do the same thing only in our cafeteria and on our big financial scoreboard. The management team has been practicing huddling and the forecasting process for several weeks, as you know. You will all get more exposure to that now. In fact, each of you has been doing these things with minigames for the past couple of months. You've been huddling with your teams weekly, forecasting, tracking, measuring, and reporting, and winning. Now you'll be able to apply those skills to the bigger game. The management team will be counting on you for support in the pre-huddles that will help us build our team and work group numbers, all of which will roll up into our company-wide financial picture and critical numbers. Then you can see how your departmental forecasts add up to the company's overall financial forecast." He paused for effect. "The idea is for everyone to have clear line of sight, to understand how your decisions and your actions every day make or break this business." Sam added, "Remember, everybody, the objective of the huddle is posted right on the wall of our cafeteria. When we leave the weekly huddle, you should be able to see the whole playing field, know where everyone is, and see how the game is unfolding, and what each of us must do to keep moving closer to the goal." As they left the gym, everyone was handed a code green folder spelling out the details of their mission. It included their annual plan, the critical numbers, the bonus scoreboard, and a glossary of terms. As Randy and Sam handed them out, they said, "Here's your mission, should you choose to accept it. Be sure to bring your folder to the huddle next week." Though some eyes rolled, every person left with a feeling of enthusiasm, pride, and a clear feeling of involvement and respect.